We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here in LA for the Tank Davis fight. Old man in the studio because he doesn't travel when he doesn't have to. And it's nice. You got the Perrier water on the set. You know, I miss all the accessories that come with Blue Wire Studio, but you know, when duty calls, got to take a nice little traveling day. So I'm here in Los Angeles, but it doesn't stop us from bringing you guys a show. Today is MMA because we can't recap the Tank Davis fight. It hasn't happened yet when we are recording this. So we're going to talk about the UFC. We're going to talk about the winning streak that is the Corner Podcast guest. Now we've reversed the curse. Now we're on a winning streak. And then we'll preview UFC pay-per-view coming up next week. It's in Vegas, so we'll preview that. Plenty to talk about on the MMA front. To start off, though, shout out to Marcus Vanderberg, Reverse Rat Pack, who's just here, lives in LA, came through, popped in real quick, pre-show, said what's up to Dre, and let Dre know another little tidbit about my life that spurred a 15-minute conversation before we got on air. Dre, you are amazed to learn that I never tie my shoes. All the times I put my DCs on the table, the close-ups by producer Cole, baby, and you never known.
No,
tie my shoes.
I knew you didn't tie your shoes. I just didn't know you hadn't tied them since seventh grade. There's a difference here.
Oh, that was the tidbit.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I haven't tied my shoes.
You're burying the lead,
no
man.
No sneaker has been tied since seventh grade.
Like, what kind of?
I tie them in, like, little knots on the outside and then tuck them into the sides. So you'll never see me have like a bow in the front of my sneakers. Not one pair. It doesn't matter what kind of sneakers I'm wearing.
What's the rationale? Well, it doesn't matter because you only wear like two kinds of sneakers.
DCs. It's not true. I have Tims. I tuck my laces into my Tims so you won't see me like tie my Timbos up.
Those are Timberlands. Everybody knows that. But this is DCs, man. You got, like I said before we got on the air, you got Minecraft feet. You got like blocks. Two little blocks with no laces.
These DCs are fire.
It's pretty.
DCs are fire. You complimented me when I pulled up to the Haney fight. You complimented me. I was like, yo, kind of a compliment. You're like, yo, is that one of the Express shirts?
Yeah.
Because I had the Crispy Express shirt on. I just popped the tag off of it, even though my wife bought it for me 2 years ago, pre-pandemic. I had nowhere to go. So, yep. Came out Crispy Express dress shirt, nice and fitted. And I was like, oh, yes, this is a nice shirt. But also, thank you, because you know what's on the feet. Black on black DCs with the dress gear.
All right. That
it didn't look bad.
Yes, it did. Don't defend this. You had a button down on which was impressive. I was like, oh look, Kel's got a button down from Express that he purchased 2 years ago, and finally decided after all this time that today's the day I'm going to wear an Express shirt. But then you decided to pair this with some DCs that aren't tied. I don't know what to do about you. Like, look, man, my nephew's turning 16, and he, you know, we argue about, because all he wears is like sweats and hoodies, no matter what season it is. And I have to have this conversation about him growing up. And then I think about you. And then I'm like, well, he's about to turn 16. What's your excuse? There isn't an excuse.
I'm only about to turn 34. I don't know. Is there an age limit on this? Yeah, I feel like I'm still in the age bracket.
It was 4.
I'm actually in New York. In New York, I'm going to try to hit up Big East Taylor to get a sports coat. We'll get like 2 of them. Nice little blazer joint. I'm wearing that with the Express shirts. Nice jeans, black DCs.
None of this matters, man.
I'm just going to continue to get fancier around the DCs.
You can't, because you just devalue the whole fit by wearing the DCs. That's what happens. You didn't know these rules? These are the rules. Listen, man, talk to anybody. If you got a pair of dusty-ass kicks on with some fresh gear, the only thing people pay attention to are them dusty-ass kicks.
I keep them clean.
They're not clean. They're ashy.
They're like, it's like next Friday. They're 10s, but I keep them clean, though.
No.
That's my DCs. I wipe them down. Wiped down these crispy whites. Ugh. The white on white DCs.
Come on, man. And you're wearing like nicer clothes. Like, what are you doing?
I am wearing nicer clothes. I'm trying to take you guys' advice. We've talked about this on
not.
The show.
Don't say
so
that.
Much lately.
Don't say
I'm
that.
Trying to step up my wardrobe. I'm going to shop for myself and get like blazers and all that.
But it stops at the
shirt game is coming up.
It stops at the footwear.
I like to be comfortable. And I got it. Really, though, I do a lot of walking at fights.
Come on, man.
It's not like I'm just sitting on press row all the time.
Listen.
I got to go to the back. I got to collect video. I need something comfortable on the feet.
Do you drink Tang?
So dress shoes ain't going to cut it.
Do you drink Tang with your steak?
I mean, Tang is delicious.
Do you drink it with your steak?
No.
That's what you're doing with your outfit.
No. I went and got a steak. I got a porterhouse last night. After the fight,
what'd you drink?
I drank that again. I didn't get wine. Brought me the wine menu. I didn't get wine.
But
they had
get?
A crazy like selection. I got something called, I don't know. It was like called a Prohibition or something. It was like a fancy way of saying an old fashioned.
But it wasn't a Sunny Delight, right?
It was not.
It wasn't Sunny D.
It was not a Sunny
that's,
Delight.
That's gross, right?
Sunny
when you pair an expensive steak
also delicious
with Sunny Delight. That's disgusting pairing. That's not a proper pairing. When you wear an Express shirt with some DCs, it's not a proper pairing. You're disrespecting yourself. I need you to stop.
I can go to a steakhouse and order a milk.
I need you
with my dinner
to stop
and be perfectly happy.
Disrespecting yourself. Have some respect, young man. Stop disrespecting yourself. I'm telling you things that other people aren't. Other people see this.
I'm listening. Do you not feel that I'm listening?
No, because you're still wearing DCs.
If it's too cold in New York. If it's too cold in New York, I'll go to H&M,
it shouldn't take
downtown, midtown, and I might get a coat.
I might buy a coat.
Not like a real coat. Not like the long, like fancy coat. But I'm going to just get like, you know, like a flight jacket.
All right, man. I've had enough of you.
What kind of coats do you own?
I have lots of coats. I have leather jackets.
Oh, see, this is what that's everyone's answer.
I got a pea coat.
See, yeah, I can't pull off a pea coat.
You had never even tried it. How would you know?
Too withy.
You just made up a word.
Or a peacoat.
This is getting out of hand. You just made up a word. That's why you can't wear a peacoat.
Yeah,
you're too withy?
Too withy.
I got to go home.
Shoulder to shoulder.
Why am I doing this show today? What's the point of doing this? Why am I doing this? Man just said I'm too withy. Withy. Spell that. Is there a D in there?
There's some type of hyphen. Somewhere in there.
There's a hyphen?
Yes. With hyphen Y. We're just going to go with that. With E.
Oh, my
For the peacock.
God. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
How did I end
again,
up with
you? Don't have these troubles and strifes. You don't understand having to fit these shoulders.
Stop it. Cut it
into,
out. AJ.
Into fabrics.
AJ's a wildcat. My man's dresses to the nines. There's no excuse for you.
AJ dresses great.
Yeah.
He still ain't as wide as me, again, which is why I pulled E to the side. I was like, yo, E, that suit is really well cut. Like, where do you go? He's like, yo, I got this guy in New York.
Listen, man, you're more.
So that's why I need to take advice. Like,
you're more a regular human being than Big E.
So of course.
Yes.
So that's why, like, his guy would definitely be like, oh, this is easy. His guy is seeing he got to get the pectorals into everything.
You're veering off the path. You're veering off the path. You just said you were too withy to wear a peacoat.
Yeah, yo.
That's
it
not
would,
a,
it
that's
wouldn't
not,
close.
No. Yes, it would. You could get a peacoat. God damn it, Kel. I'm so sick.
No,
of
but
shit.
Then it'd be big as hell everywhere else.
You, man,
it's too much.
You're just making,
I can't explain the logistics of a peacoat to you.
You're just making shit up now.
I've tried one on.
When?
I've tried one on.
What year was
they
this?
Hot, like 3 years ago.
You're lying.
They were hot. Those in Chelsea boots.
You are lying.
Everyone had peacoats and Chelsea boots.
You did not try on a peacoat. I don't believe this for a minute.
I tried one.
No,
I bought one for my wife. I bought her a coat the same day.
You tried on your wife's
peacoat.
She
tried to buy me a peacoat.
You tried on your wife's peacoat. You didn't try on a peacoat for you. You it's because she's smart. Your wife is wise.
It's fashionable. She also has boots. She ties her sneakers.
Yeah,
she does a lot of things that I don't.
What else we got to talk about? I'm tired of talking about your fashion choices. I don't even know if our listeners are still entertained by this. Just feeling sorry.
Started.
Hey, you need to start a cash
app. Because Marcus Vandenberg brought that up.
We need a cash app for you for fashion. Just or OnlyFans.
People are going to be mad.
Yo, we're going to start a Kel Dance OnlyFans. where people subscribe.
I'm the OnlyFans where I get more clothes.
Yes, you put on more clothes and people will subscribe because it's like a donation for you to wear proper clothes. You're going to get That is it. We are getting you an OnlyFans.
OnlyFans.
Yes.
So OnlyFans. People would just see me in coats.
Yeah.
And like more clothes.
Yeah, and more clothes.
Better suits, dress shoes.
As the tier goes up, the fancier the clothes get. No DCs.
Oh,
if you don't
want
to see Kel and DCs, $19.99 a month. We got a few hundred of those. We got 100 of those. We're getting you a peacoat.
I'll be.
OnlyFans for Kel Danzy.
Yes,
I figured it out.
Slow mo tying my shoes.
I'll
buy a pair of Jordans and just tying them.
Yo,
we're gonna
make this even better because I'm gonna buy an ad read on Blue Wire and I'm gonna voice the ad read for you to have an OnlyFans. Fucking Inception, man. It's gonna happen. We doing this.
Oh, an
OnlyFans. Yes, we're doing an OnlyFans.
OnlyFans, yes. To clothe Kel.
Yes, to put you in proper attire. And your subscription dictates what he wears. He treats you like a sim.
I think you might be onto something. See, this opening segment wasn't even supposed to be about me, though. This is where
you made it about
we
you.
Left.
When you said you haven't tried your shoes in 7 years, you made this segment about you.
Marcus dug deep into what I'm wearing and my DCs. He was talking about the fat tongue on the DCs and why it's weird. And he was like, yo, you didn't even tie your sneakers. I was like, I don't tie my sneakers. And that's how we went down this route.
Yeah, okay, let's move on. But
played football all my life, never tied a cleat.
All our
it's
listeners
fine.
Out there,
you.
if you're on the Twitter, go ahead and respond and say you would subscribe. Tell us what dollar amount you would jump in on the Kel OnlyFans to dress this
Kel
man.
OnlyFans.
We're going to put you in clothes in 2021. This will be the first and only OnlyFans while a man dresses up.
It's like the opposite of Faye Jackson's OnlyFans.
Yeah, nobody.
Faye's going to send me to the Wholesome Crew.
Yes.
Can't even be on the Creep Squad.
Nah, you don't deserve that.
Hilarious. We were supposed to come on here and talk about something I saw in your timeline.
What?
And this was supposed to be a culinary opening segment.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Opening segment.
The poor white girl that found the 7-Up cake was like, what was it? What is this? Sweetheart.
Just discovered 7-Up cake.
It's a 7-Up cake. You've never seen one of these before?
I will let you know, though, to be real.
Oh, no.
Is a 7-Up cake a 7-Up cake if it ain't upside down? That's like a pineapple cake.
Well, yeah.
Is a pineapple cake really a pineapple cake if it ain't upside down?
I'm not a baker. I don't give a shit. Does it taste good? That's all I care about. Look, all I know is I saw this. Yo, Twitter is fantastic because I don't think people just tore apart. They just kind of schooled her. They was like, oh, wait. First of all, you're buying a 7-Up cake at the grocery store. That's your first mistake. It has to be homemade.
Yeah.
You don't buy 7-Up cake.
It looks delicious, though.
Yeah, but you know, cakes at like the grocery store, wherever you're at, they look great. And then you cut into it and you're like, this ain't it. Ain't nothing like a good homemade or black-made cake. You know, a dope baker. 7-Up cakes are spectacular. You know?
Oh, my God. Like, I remember. And again, I had a lot of my stuff like buying from supermarkets and stores because my mom would work all the time. My mom could bake. So, and she listened to the show, so I ain't gonna front on her. Like, she can bake. And when she wants to, she get busy. But I remember meeting my ex-wife, and then like the first time I went to LA to meet her family, And her grandma owned like a little bakery. And she would bake every day. She'd wake up before going into work and bake. And like red velvets and everything. But her specialty was the 7-Up cake. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you she pumped out like 4 of these a day, I ate an entire cake by myself. Which probably couldn't have been good for my then football body and performance. But I'm pretty sure it was like the off season. I crushed this cake. And that was like my first time like having 7-Up cake, like homemade 7-Up cake. I was like, oh, this is a game changer.
Yeah.
Just like red velvet. Red velvet, if it ain't made in somebody's kitchen by somebody's granny, ain't the same. And I love red velvet cake.
There is a Nothing Bundt Cakes makes a really good red velvet cake. Nothing Bundt Cakes makes banging ass cake. So, but yeah,
I do like those.
But
the small ones. I've never had the big one.
Yeah, we get like me and my wife get them every year. Like whoever's birthday it is, we don't care. It's like you're getting a Bundt cake. Like you're just getting a Bundt cake because we like them. I don't care if you like them. We like them. For my birthday though, I get a cheesecake. That's a whole other story. But yeah, man, it's like a cultural explosion on social media. Because if you come in with the right attitude, and she's like, what is this? It's a 7-Up cake. Like, you know, it was a joke to her at first. And then, like, Black Twitter was like, oh, listen, I'm sorry.
Listen, baby girl.
We got
sit down right here.
Smarten up. We got to smarten you up right quick to what a 7-Up cake is. Now, hopefully, there's somebody in the area that will bake her a 7-Up cake. And I'd love to see this be content of her trying a 7-Up cake.
A real 7-Up cake.
Yeah, a real 7-Up cake.
Change her life.
Yeah.
Change of life.
It's just incredible.
I remember I have a friend. We went over his crib for, like, you know, it might have been football. Fired up the grill. We were still young, 21. And usually burgers, hot dogs, brats. It's football day, right? Some beers, drinking. He was like, yo, I'm buying chicken. Not like wings. He's going to do chicken. Like, all right, cool, whatever. Throw chicken there. Thought maybe a drunken chicken. Bought a pack of chicken breasts. Open up the pack. Threw it on the grill.
He's seasoned it?
From pack.
He ain't clean it? He ain't clean it?
From pack to the grill.
You didn't touch it, did you?
I looked at it. Oh my God. To the point, I was amazed. I wanted to see how it looked when it cooked. Because I've never seen chicken cooked without some seasoning on. Like, does it still turn brown? Like, what is the final? And when I tell you, it is pale white with brown marks. And it was done. I was like, this is incredible.
Did you try
it? So there's some people that don't know no better. I couldn't eat that. Like, there's levels. That's where I draw the line.
Yo,
I will wear horrible clothes. If people say I wear horrible clothes, I will be cheap. You know me. The only thing I care about. It's food and culinary delights. I cannot do that.
Yo, I mean, clean your chicken. Yeah. Right? Like, you know, oh, my God. I'm not even a cook at all, right? Like, my wife cooks. I don't do anything. But I will make some chicken in a heartbeat. And I'll throw it in. You season it. You rinse it off. It's just being cleanly. Like,
It was like, what? And, like, I was like, what does that taste like? Like, it tastes like chicken. And he looked at me like I was weird.
Nah, man, that's
so I just watched.
That is grounds for the Civil War, right? Like, you got to pick a side at this point. Like, we can't kick it no more. If you out here not cleaning your meat and then not putting any seasoning on it, yo, you got to pick a side.
Sir,
we going to do
it. I would have changed his life with some paprika. Just a little bit of paprika?
Yo, this is a lot.
Fuck up his whole life.
Yeah, man. He would have
thought his first 21 years was a fraud on this earth.
I would have got a musket and shot him.
like there's people out there that don't know no better. But again, and this is what I want to ask you, when has there been a time, like when, because for everyone there's been a time where culturally you go to someone else's crib who's a different culture or something, and they put you up on something, and you're like, yo,
something good.
The hell have I not been privy to this in my life? Not something bad.
Oh,
something bad. You just walk out.
Yeah, I'll give you a bad one just for the hell of it. My wife's friend at work, she's white, and her for starters, look, red flag immediately because you know where this might be going. You might not though. They have a cat. They had cats. Now look, me and my wife used to have cats. I don't care. That wasn't my problem. She invited us over for
dinner.
You're
a cat person?
Used to be.
Wait.
Yeah, I like cats, man. They're, you know, they're very territorial. And, you know, bond with my cats. That's not the, you're bearing the lead.
Yeah, stop. I knew you were weird. Okay, continue.
But, so she invited us over for dinner, right? Now, one, they, like, I don't want to call them woke white people because I hate the word. But they were just very much like, they knew their shit, right? So we'd always have, like, conversations about politics or whatever. So she's like, oh, come over for dinner. Now, the first thing that happened before, because they had all these movies, right? And the first red flag was, he was like, I've never seen The Wire, her husband. Like, we've never seen The Wire. And I was like, why not? And his name was Scott. He was very honest. And he was like, well, at the time when it came out, you know, because both of them came from, like, racist parents. And our parents were like, there were too many black people, so we didn't watch it. And I was like, I didn't know this was a thing, right? I didn't know it was a thing that somebody could watch something like, oh, their parents like, too many black people, turn this shit off. And they never watched The Wire. And from that point on, I was like, okay. So culturally, we're coming from different places here. Now, granted, you're learning. So as they're cooking the food, me and my wife are sitting there, and the cats are walking on the countertops where the food is being prepared. I said, yo.
This is why I do not eat certain people's food. Again, I don't eat where people got cats. That's rule number one. I don't trust cats in life. But cats then just get into a bunch of shit. Dogs will stay on the floor. Cats have no sense of personal space.
Yo, my cats, when I had cats, they wouldn't do that. But the cats were walking on the countertop where the food was being prepared. And me and my wife just kind of looked at each other. And I was like, we got to go. I was like, yo, somebody got shot at home. Like, somebody fell off a mountain. We got to get out of here. We had to figure this one out. We bailed on dinner. And for that, we never ate at their house because they had cats walking on their counters while the food was being prepared. Now, if anybody knows cats, cats go to litter boxes where they cover their feces up with their paws. And they don't wash their hands. They don't wash their paws when they're done with this. These cats went from litter box to countertop as the food is being prepared. They're walking on cutting boards.
Yeah, I've seen people crack the can of kitty food. Bam, put it right there while they're chopping.
Yeah, I can't. No, man.
We
gotta separate
that. Cat people are wrong.
That's the bad.
Also, that's why you can't eat at everybody's potluck.
No, oh no, yeah, potluck? You can't do that. Because I don't know how your food, where it came from, who prepared it. I don't know what went into that.
Yeah.
The one thing, my cousin, Jamel, I love him to death. Jamel lives in New York, and he lives in the Bronx. Now, look, Jamel is like my first cousin. He used to take care of me when I was little, and they live in Jersey now. For whatever reason, Jamel has turned into a full-blooded Puerto Rican, right? He's darker than you, but he speaks salsa. Oh, like, he's just full-blooded Dominican Puerto Rican.
Welcome right? to the club, Jamel.
Yeah. And, you know, he was born like that. Just kind of, that was his environment. So he ended up like that. He used Goya in everything. And corn. He would put corn in everything.
Now he's sounding like he's a full-blown Dominican. But that's
yeah. Fair. And that was my first time. He was making spaghetti, and it was corn in the spaghetti. And I was like, wait, hold on.
He definitely learned that from Washington Heights.
Yeah,
he's a different type of the Bronx to me.
Me and my wife looked at each other, and we tried it, and it was delicious. Now, after he did that, this is years ago. He was like, oh, let's have a snack. And he was like, I got some hamburger helper. And I was like, all right, throw some hamburger helper on. He was like, oh, I got to run to the store and get some corn. I was like, you don't need to do that. He did it anyway. So we had beef noodle with corn. Everything had corn in it. There was nothing in his house that it was not made with corn. But it was fantastic. I don't do it. It was delicious. I never thought of that. I was like, I never thought of this. Why would I do this? Why would I put corn in everything? Spaghetti, pasta, hamburger helper. But yeah, I had no idea. Like, I was hanging out with him, and that, yeah, it was delicious. He seasoned it right.
He's bugging.
The season was on point. Yo, he had the rosary bead hanging up. I was like, yo, what happened to you? But, you know, I love him to death, but I was just like, you've become full Dominican.
I ain't gonna lie to you, though. And listen, this is how I grew up. I could be impartial, being half Puerto Rican, half black. Goya adobo is better than seasoning salt. So yes, if he puts adobo in everything,
that's fire. What I took. I went home, We order that shit on Amazon like for years. If you come to my house, you look, there's always some Goya adobo somewhere in the crib.
That's always. It. Got to get the red top, not the yellow top.
Yes, the red top.
Red top.
Yep.
Fire. Yeah, no, way better than seasoned salt. So I get it. The corn, he lost me all. But we've all been there. So I understood. I was like, oh, this chick, and she get, you know, put on to game with the 7-Up cake. I remember I went, shout out to my kid's godmother, Siggy, and I went to her crib in high school, and she's Filipino. And when I tell you, I went over there for Super Bowl. When I tell you this shit blew my mind. One, it was my first time having pancit, which is delicious in itself, right? So I was having pancit. I was like, okay, this is good. When they brought out the trays of lumpia, I was like, is this an egg roll? Everybody stop. Everybody, whoever you were talking, the game, about the game coming on, everyone stopped and looked at me. I was like, oh, shit, I done said something wrong. I was like, these are not egg rolls. I was like, all right, my bad. It was like, look, I thought it was like the cocktail weenie of an egg roll, like version of it. I was like, okay, it's just a tiny egg roll. They're like, these are not egg rolls. I was like, all right, what? I was like, cool. They brought out the sauce. I was like, yo, I'm going to try one. I had to eat in like 60 lumpia that day.
Damn.
And to this day, yo, I got a Filipino spot on deck. Anywhere I move in Vegas, yo, where's the Filipino spot? Because there's, you never know. And you got to just get 100 lumpia and just chill and eat them during the game. Yeah. 100 goes quick. Quick. Filipino food was like the moment for me coming to Vegas, because there's no Filipino food in the Bronx.
No, there's
none at all. It's the Chinese spot.
Yeah, how many Filipinos?
And they sell chicken wings.
Like, how many Filipinos?
I Tekashi, count them on one hand.
Was Tekashi 69 live in the Bronx? Is he Filipino?
I think he's Dominican.
Is he? Oh, I don't remember. I thought he was Mexican.
He's not even. Oh shit! Yeah, but he might be Mexican.
I tried.
To be honest, but yeah, damn sure he's Filipino. I hadn't met Filipino people until I moved. The Bronx is weird because we got so many different, or New York City, right? Like, there's so many different cultures, but there's also a lot of cultures that there are just not prevalent at all.
Yeah.
So yeah, nah. Like, I didn't meet a Filipino person until I came to Las Vegas, and I was like, your food is amazing. Like, this is the best thing ever, and I'll try anything. So now, like, shout out to my kid's godmother and, like, a bunch of my friends from high school and all that. They'd be like, oh, who's cooking? Your mom's cooking? Yeah, say less. I'll be over there. I need 3 plates. I treat it like when I go to your crib. Yeah, and, I'm eating, and I'm taking food home. Just know. Now their moms know. It's like, all right, I got to make Kel his own tray, because that's going to be his to just take home, because Filipino food, yo, it changed my life. So I understand it. They probably looked at me, and even people who grew up on the West Coast probably always were around like some Filipino restaurant, or Hawaiian food is the same. No Hawaiian food spots in New York. So they probably looked at me like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, this is so amazingly good. Like, we eat this all the time. She blew my mind. So I understand it. She don't understand 7-Up cake. I wonder how she feels about, like, grits. Now I just need her to taste everything black, this chick on Twitter. Like, just lean into the gimmick.
Content. This has now become content, because now we have to give her everything.
That's it.
She's going to have to eat some chitlins.
Everything.
She has to eat chitlins. I will not eat chitlins.
Why are you trying to score? No.
My mom,
don't score this poor
my
girl.
Mom, for Thanksgiving, then we can take a break because we got to talk about the UFC. For Thanksgiving, my mom came over, and we, like, did all the food. I didn't mention this part. I was like, she was like, I've been up since like 3 a.m. I was like, what are you doing? She was like, I was cleaning chitlins for my husband. And I was like, and she didn't bring him over. She's like, I wasn't going to bring him over. But I was like, yo, that's love. Because have you ever smelled chitlins before?
No, I've never been in the vicinity of a chitlin.
They are disgusting.
In my life.
They're gross. And my mom spent 7 hours cleaning chitlins on Thanksgiving.
Don't they shrink to, like, almost nothing?
Dark.
So you got to make, like, a stupid amount of them?
Yeah, and they look like wet T-shirts. Like, when you put them all together, they look like folded wet T-shirts. They're disgusting. But my mom spent 7 hours cleaning them. Cleaning them. Not eating them.
I mean,
cleaning them. They're intestines.
I'm assuming
you have
cleaning
to.
Intestine, yeah.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
They can't taste good. Oh, I know people just put mad hot sauce on it.
Yeah, you know, they would talk about that at the house. And my mom and my stepfather, and they were all like, yeah, chitlins. I was like, nope. That's one thing I just won't try. But old girl, if she's going to try 7-Up cake, all the delicious stuff, You gotta eat the bad stuff too.
You gotta do everything.
You gotta do it all.
You can't just do the delicious black culture
stuff. You can't take all our sweets. Can't take all our sweets.
Pig's feet. Pig's feet. The pig feet.
Yeah, I can't. Ooh, pig's feet.
Oh, that's also horrible. My grandma loves pig feet. My grandma in New York, she made some pig feet.
That's horrible.
There's a lot of like, again, not growing up, and we'll go to break in a second, but me not growing up predominantly with my black side of family. And just going over there for like holidays and stuff, but like not being in the household all the time, I don't have like a lot of the same experiences as like everyone else growing up. So like I have a ton of Puerto Rican food and all that stuff. So outside of the musical choices, when people laugh at me about not knowing a ton of 70s, 80s R&B music, it's the food. And I remember I still don't understand Black Eyed Peas for New Year's, because like Black Eyed Peas don't taste good to me.
I'm not
like, do people eat this just because it's a tradition, or
yes,
because it's tasty? Because I don't think it tastes good, really.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I don't necessarily care for them. Sue me. I don't care.
See, good. I'm not the only weirdo. Like, there's like a lot of stuff where I'm just like, I'm not sure people really like this.
Yeah,
like they just do it because they do it. Because yeah, chitlins. Nobody likes chitlins. Nobody.
My mother.
I grew up in Spanish. Like, I'm not eating menudo. For all my Spanish people out there, like, nah, like, people, I love tacos, but people get some weird ass tacos.
Yes,
like, I'm not going in there and getting like the lengua, and the lengua is not horrible, but like the cabeza and like the tripe, the tripe, and all that. I'm not eating none of those tacos. Like, nah, like, just because you put guacamole on something don't mean it's edible.
No, not at all.
No, I pass on that. So, yeah, I'm glad this young woman was introduced to the joy that is 7-Up cake. Somebody get her a peach cobbler stat.
Yeah.
Cause that is the crown jewel of the black baking community. Nothing's better than peach cobbler. If we had a bracket,
that's debatable.
That's a one seed. That's Alabama right now.
Wow. Well,
is the peach cobbler.
I'm not gonna debate it.
There ain't nothing topping that.
We ain't got time.
You're not a cobbler guy?
No, I like cobbler. I just don't, you know, it's not better than upside down cake. A 7-Up cake. Yeah, you know.
Okay, that's fair. I feel like more people make good 7-Up cake and upside down cake than more people make good cobbler.
That's
you really got to go somewhere and find, like, people make really shitty peach cobbler. And it'll just ruin your whole day if you order it and it's whack.
Yeah.
But when you find a good one, it's the upper echelon. So, nah, shout out to this young woman. Hopefully we inspire others to broaden their horizons. I am going to broaden mine when I can find new cultural dishes and I go overseas and everything. The only thing I refuse to eat is grits. So to all my black folks listening and everyone who supports the pod, I love y'all, but I ain't grits. Tastes like cardboard.
Yeah, you had them right.
Mushy cardboard. Nah. And if I did eat grits, I'd put sugar in them. Sue me. I am that guy. I'm healed through and through. So we appreciate y'all. Let's hit the break. We got to come back. We got to talk MMA and combat sports. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, everyone. It's Lindsay Rhodes, and I've got a new podcast, The NFL Roadshow. Fun and kind of nerdy conversation about the NFL every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I've got some amazing guests that are joining me. I'll be breaking the huddle with the top stories, previewing games. We'll get you set for the weekend fantasy with our Fantasy Friday episodes, and we'll answer some of your questions as well. So subscribe to the NFL Roadshow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back. Enough of the food talk. Time to talk. People getting punched in the face. Dre, we had UFC fight night, Vegas. I think it was 44. Excuse me if I get the number wrong. But just past this past weekend, the streak continues. It was looking shaky at first. Clay Guida, first thing we have to talk about, Leonardo Santos. Santos almost stops him in the first round.
Yeah.
We're watching it during the Haney fight. You're like, look. I'm like, no, not again. We can't go back here. Guida weathers the storm, comes back out. And like he told me, he'll take his wrestling over jiu-jitsu every day. He wasn't scared to go to the ground. Gets Santos on the ground, takes his back, chokes him the hell out. And that was a deep choke.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy because I can't remember what fight was in the ring. It wasn't Montana Love. I can't remember which one it was. But as soon as I looked down, because, you know, I saw, you know, Clay and the hair bouncing. I looked in the ring, and then I looked down, and Santos is hitting with hammer fists, and he's looking at the referee to stop the fight. And I was like, oh. And that's when I turned my screen to you, and I was like, well, he's taking an L. And I turned my screen back. Santos is still hitting him. He's still looking at the ref. And Clay is moving his head, and the ref's like, hey, man, stop looking at me. Do your job. I look back up, fight, something happened. It might have been, it was either Love or the McCaskill fight, one of those two. I started paying attention. Then I looked down, and Clay Guida's got his back and sinking in a rear naked choke. I was like, oh, the streak is, and then I saw my message on Twitter. The streak is alive. Good for Clay Guida.
I mean, people love it now. Yeah, good for Clay Guida. It got him the 50K, too. Got the performance bonus.
Yeah, good. I mean,
so,
yeah, good for
40th
Clay.
Birthday next week. Nothing better than a 40th birthday present with 50K in the pocket.
Yeah. Still don't get paid enough, but yeah.
Definitely not. But he's a vet, so maybe. And he's winning.
Well, yeah.
You're not going to PFL or Bellator anytime soon.
No. Nah.
You in your 40s, and this was one of those opponents where, like you say, in the heavyweight division and everything, where it's like, okay, now we got to give you someone real. We got to test if you're hitting the Glover Teixeira late career run. Yeah. Or if this is just you're more than a little more than a gatekeeper type of thing,
a little smoke and mirror, or you're Andre Arlovsky, like we come on, exactly. So
yeah. So it's one of those where it's like, okay, Clay, happy to see that. There was just a crazy streak of finishes. Chris Curtis versus Brendan Allen. Chris Curtis gets the finish there.
He's had between the UFC and Indies, the regional scene. He's had like 6 or 7 fights this year. And he gets another stoppage, and I'm like, yo, this dude might be like rookie of the year.
He's legit. He looks the part. When you watch him fight, you'd be like, yo, this guy looks like he's an elite level fighter.
Yeah.
He has to prove it.
Yeah,
he looks the part.
I didn't expect that. But I was looking because I saw when he won, I was like, I don't think I picked him. And then because he was on the contender series or whatever. And then I looked and I was like, yo, he's had like 6, 7 fights this year. Good for him. Probably might be rookie of the year, man, because that's a pretty incredible run.
It's good. It's clicking for him. His last fight was a great stoppage. 8 losses on his record, but think about MMA is like you don't know when it clicks.
Yeah, you
and people, once it clicks, if you go on a run, you end up real hot real fast.
Cats just lose, right? Like that's just what it is. Some cats just they lose a few fights and they figure it out.
There's that's no the Masvidal way behind it. Like Jorge Masvidal just lost.
Well,
it was like, yo, he just figured out.
He's always been kind of a journeyman. Like, let's just be real. But I'm talking about other fighters. It's like you're thrown into the deep end in MMA. There is really no shallow end. And you know, you're not getting a title shot immediately. But if you win 3-4 fights, you're getting close to the title picture. There's really no soft touches. The one thing I do love about the UFC and MMA in general. So if you lose a few fights and you learn some technique. And you go on a nice little run, you're right back in the title picture. Who cares about how many losses you have? Glover Teixeira had won a ton of fights when he lost to Jon Jones. Then he had a little shaky run, and then he figured it out as a 40-year-old, 42-year-old, and now he's champ.
42 now.
Yeah. 42-year-old champ. So
yes.
I don't care about them losses, man. I don't. But I'll say that, and I'll call Masvidal a journeyman. And they'll be like, well, what about Masvidal? And he's lost. But, yeah, Masvidal, he's hasn't really beaten a ton of elite fighters. Like, he beat Ben Askren. He beat Darren Till, who we can't really, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, at the time, he beat the guys he had to beat.
No, he. I mean, he
won. And it looked promising, but then,
He's you know, he's
beat Nate.
Again, journeyman.
Just saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like, glorified journey. Like, he's, you know, he's a star, but come on. Can't be the. And Nate's a little bit different because, like, Nate knocked off Cowboy when Cowboy was on his nice little run. Nate knocked off Gray Maynard when Maynard was on his nice little run. Nate has some quality wins. Masvidal knocked out Ben Askren. Masvidal beat Nate Diaz with a cut, but he was winning that fight. But he's never really put it together. You know what I'm saying? But other fighters, you lose a few fights, and then you go on a nice streak and very impressive. It clicks, and, you know, looks like Chris Curtis is one of those guys.
I agree. And then we have Jamal Hill.
Yeah, I said he was going to knock him out, but damn.
Jimmy Crew. Jeez.
Get him out of here.
He's the real deal. He hit him with a short right hand.
Yeah.
It wasn't even loading up. It was just on the button. Boom. Out. And it was quick. And, you know, outside of but it was like an injury in the one fight for Jamal Hill, and then he had like his little trip up. But again, people lose.
It happens.
But he came back and he shows like he's a player in that division.
Yeah, it don't take much. It don't take much. Man has, what is he, 9? He's 9-1. He's young. He only lost to Paul Craig by that submission. And since then, I mean, not even since then. This is the first fight back from that. But he's got power. And you can't change things, especially in light heavyweight division. It's not like a ton of technique. I'm not saying that these guys aren't great grapplers. I mean, but outside of like when John was there, you know, obviously Jan is there. But even Jan doesn't have like superior. Like you look at Charles Oliveira, which we're going to talk about, a guy that's improved every facet of the game. At light heavyweight, if you got power, chances are you can win.
He'll carry you a long way. Yeah.
You know, Jan. Again, Glover beat Jan. Technique, right? Not that Jan doesn't have technique, but Glover had better technique. But if you have power, doesn't matter. We all thought Rumble could be Jon Jones because he touched his chin at one time.
Yeah. I mean, that's the closest you can get to beating Jon Jones because no one's going to out-technique him.
Nope.
Like you said.
Nobody.
So it's like you got to catch him with that one punch.
Yep.
Just put the lights out. So, yeah, I mean, that's why Francis is such an intriguing matchup if they ever meet each other.
Yep.
Like, Cyril Gane is, like, cool.
I mean,
but
so, quiet as kept, just, Cyril could beat Ngannou.
No, I mean, he could beat Ngannou, but I'm talking about, like, if he went on to face Jones after that, it's like, all right, but you're not going to out-technique John. I don't care how good of a kickboxer you are. He has too many weapons.
Yep.
So it's like, I had picked John to beat him, but with Francis, it's like, he has the great equalizer.
Yeah, fascinating stuff.
And it's one of the, what-ifs. Next fight, another.
Told you Fazeev
another
is
finish
real deal.
Here.
Fazeev,
Brad Riddle.
That wheel kick, the setup on the wheel kick, the stand switch.
Oh.
Brad Riddell
when
looked.
When he tested it.
He was like,
Yeah.
he like took a step back, but he was right in the wheel kick range, and he ate one. Fazeev's striking is, I said it was really good. He showed it again. He's a problem in this division. Anybody wants to strike with him, you're in for a hell of a night. Brad Riddell found out the hard way.
Take him down. At this point, when I saw that, I was like, what? Take him down. Because he had everything. It's one thing hoping someone walks into something or being a counterpuncher, sprawling brawl guy. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But when people are calculated in MMA, you can just see and you'd be like, yo, that's scary.
Yeah,
like when Wonder Boy was on his run.
Yep.
And it was like, everything is calculated. You look at Adesanya. He's just not throwing shit and countering. Everything is calculated. There's the feints, the setup. He knows when he has you. That shit's scary. So that's what I saw here. So I was like, oh, yeah, Fazeev. I was like, that was a great performance in that spot.
Yeah, definitely.
And now he can take those skills like a pay-per-view card and start building this guy. Main event, Jose Aldo versus Rob Font. Found the fountain of youth.
He found what he could do as an older man. That's it. It's not even fountain youth. He found what he knew his limitations, and now he's fighting with his limit. Like, he doesn't blow his gas tank. Like I said, he's not going to blow it out trying to get him out of there. He's going to take his time because he knows how to pace himself. He realizes he's not as fast as he used to be. Like, he's not as explosive as he was in WEC, but his technique is better. His jab is better.
Yeah.
Rob Font's a good fighter. He 50-45'd him, right? Almost finished him twice.
Yeah. Yep.
This
Font got one round on, like, one card.
Yeah, I don't even know how he got that round. I watched the fight back, and I was like, I didn't give him any rounds. But Jose Aldo is what do you do? I mean, I know what I
like to call out.
Yeah, the Dillashaw call out makes a ton of sense.
The Dillashaw call out, but makes no sense for Dillashaw.
No.
I think Dillashaw can wait and get a title shot.
Maybe. Yeah, it's just if you're a fighter and you're looking at Jose Aldo right now, you're like, damn, I don't think I want to fight this guy. He's figured it out. Like, he had a midlife crisis in the octagon. Like, a lot of fighters do. They don't realize that they can't do what they used to do, and they got to change.
Yep.
He got past that. Now he's not, like, a guy that you could just beat. I know, like, Jan and a lot of those guys go, I don't want to see him again. I beat him. I don't want to see him again. At bantamweight, like I said, Aljo, Dominic Cruz fights this weekend, which – completely disrespectful.
That's a good fight.
Yeah, it's just disrespectful how low the Dominic Cruz is on this card. He's fighting Pedro Munhoz and not even the feature fight on the prelim. But anyway, but that's a good fight. Two legends going at it. All right, cool. There was a time Cruz was top 3 pound for pound fighter in the world. Injuries limited
him. And people were clamoring for that fight.
Yeah.
A super fight between these two.
So ultimately, it's Jose Aldo did what I thought Jose Aldo would do, but he just looked damn good doing it. So good for him. We'll see Jose probably back in the octagon, I would assume, somewhere in like March, April next year.
Yeah.
Picking the spots.
I mean, he's looking great, and he's a fight away from a title shot damn near again.
Yep, perhaps.
If he gets that Dillashaw fight, he's a fight away.
Yeah, if he gets the Dillashaw fight. Yep, you're right.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's in an amazing position. These WEC Strikeforce old veteran guys, not done yet. It's crazy. We were seeing these people fight 13, 14 years ago.
Yep.
Still going. It's about to be 2022. Title contention, champions. MMA is a weird place, man. Let's take our break. Come back. Preview UFC 269 going down in Vegas. We'll wrap up our show with that. A lot of good fights on the card. It's probably the best combat sports card of that weekend, but I will be at Lomachenko in New York and catch as much of it as I can. So don't go anywhere. Be right back after this.
Pelé leaned in and said something to Freddie.
Don't let them change you. Keep working on what makes you different and what makes you special. It was great advice, but it caused me some problems.
But what could change Freddie Adu?
Soccer is going to explode, and it's going to be around this kid.
We were the Beatles. Everywhere we went, it was the Freddie show.
And with that came the expectation, and with that came the pressure.
New episodes of American Prodigy drop Tuesdays from Blue Wire Podcasts.
All right, everybody, we are back. Time to wrap up the show by talking about UFC 269. Good pay-per-view here for the UFC to end the year. Dre, like you said, the preliminary card on this is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
For a prelim card.
Yeah, definitely.
So we got to start there. Jordan Wright, Beverly Hills Ninja, friend of the pod. This was a fight that was postponed because we had a shitty curse on our show where no one could make it to fight night. Or people would get beat. So, since we are on a winning streak here on the show due to guest, I'm going to count him on that. I'm taking Jordan Wright to beat Bruno Silva to open up the prelims this upcoming weekend.
Same here. I mean, I have no other reason other than he was on this show. So, there's that.
No, call that's, me, call that's me all shallow. We need.
I don't care.
Yeah, that's all we need. Augusto Sakai versus Tai Tuivasa.
This is a
spoiler
good
alert, Tai will be our guest. Later in the week.
Yes, another Aussie. And I feel like I'm actually got to look up Augusto Sakai's record because he's on a two-fight losing streak because he lost to Rosenstruck and Overeem. I'm picking Tai Tuivasa. The Aussie's got the power right now.
Yep.
You know, you just had George Stambosis. You know, Volkanovski's a champion. Tai Tuivasa. And then Tai Tuivasa knocked out Greg Hardy. So how could I bet against somebody who knocked out Greg Hardy? So I'm going with Tai Tuivasa by stoppage.
Oh yeah, this not going to the judges.
Nah, Tai doesn't play that.
So, Tai Tuivasa, and I want to see the man take a shoey. So I always pick Tai Tuivasa because the shoey is the best celebration in MMA.
It's also the most disgusting.
So
it's gross.
Sometimes a man got to do what a man got to do.
You ain't got to do that.
I would rather take a shoey than eat food from a kitchen where people have cats.
I just will starve and die.
Can't go neither.
Yeah.
Next up, Pedro Munhoz versus Dominic Cruz, the co-main preliminary fight.
It's crazy.
Dominic Cruz loses again. I don't know what Dominic Cruz has. It's time to go away.
I'm picking Dominic Cruz. Pedro Munhoz is 1-3 in his last four fights. He lost to Aldo. He lost to Frankie Edgar, which clearly now we look at Frankie, we're like, I don't know what you got left. Yeah, I'm picking Dominic Cruz.
Beat Jimmy Rivera.
Yeah, but Jimmy's kind of washed up. The thing about Dominic Cruz is the injuries have actually helped extend his career because he doesn't have that much mileage on his body. And I think he's slower, which is true, but I think he'll do enough between his striking, his footwork, and his wrestling to get by Munhoz. Munhoz is a good fighter, but I'm picking Dominic Cruz. And I think Dominic Cruz is also going to feel disrespected that he's not the feature prelim, which is kind of crazy to me.
That's fair. I mean, Cruz beat Faber, beat Dillashaw, went away forever, came back, lost to Cejudo, which no shame in that, and then beat Casey Kenney.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, three-round fight does favor Dominic Cruz. Yeah. It's hard to figure out that style in three-round fight, and he can usually land a takedown to take two of those rounds with a takedown.
Yeah, and even if you go back to the Cejudo fight, like it wasn't like Dominic Cruz was fighting a bad fight and got blitzed. He got caught. And he kind of popped up.
Got caught.
Remember, he popped up and he protested the stoppage immediately. Dominic Cruz still has something left. I'm not saying Pedro Munhoz doesn't. I just think Dominic is still a very good fighter. And I think he wins this fight. He sets up some interesting opposition.
Win here versus, again, we'll push for that Aldo fight. That'd be an amazing fight to see where they both are. And then Josh Emmett versus Dan Ige. I mean, the damage, man.
You're going with Josh Emmett?
Oh, not the damage, but Josh Emmett, the second worst tattoo in MMA. Sorry. Josh Emmett, yeah, with the highlighter tattoo on his sleeve. Yeah, I'm going with Josh Emmett. Oh, Shane Burgos was the last fight. Remember that one. Michael Josh Johnson before then. Three-fight winning streak. Let's get it.
It's a tough fight for me to pick.
Last loss to Jeremy Stephens.
Yeah.
I forgot he lost to Jeremy Stephens. Yo, Jeremy Stephens was a thing once upon a time.
Yes.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Lil Heathen went on a tear at some point, like most fighters do. It's a tough fight to pick. Ige's pretty good. Emmett's pretty good. Emmett has dynamite in his hands. This fight's not going the distance because I said that it probably will. But I'm going to pick Josh Emmett to close this out with a stoppage. I think there'll be some kind of firefight that breaks out because Ige likes to strike as well. Emmett is known. Emmett's power is underrated in this division. So I think he finds a way to stop him. So that's what happens in the feature prelim. Boom.
Main card time. Trying to look it up right now. Rulian Paiva versus Sean O'Malley.
You know it's
another showcase for the Sugar Show.
The Sugar Show opens the show for a reason. Like, this is the
guy. They're booking him like a boxer,
exactly,
by the way.
Like, they're booking
him. He's not on the usual MMA plan.
No, they're not. They're not moving along. Like, he fought Chito Vera. That was almost 2 years ago when he got hurt. And Chito Vera, who just beat Frankie Edgar, who was a ranked fighter, and Sean lost that fight, but, you know, he was in the fight until he got hurt. Since then, he's just fighting guys now. And he's not losing this fight to open the card. He wasn't booked to lose this fight. This is not, I'm not saying it's a squash match, but this is like when you watch, like, when you watch SmackDown and Big E wrestles Austin Theory, there's no way that they booked this fight, this match for E to lose. This is what they're doing with O'Malley. You have him open the card, you get them a little pay-per-view buys in, the Sugar Show does the Sugar Show things, and he stops him. He's going to knock him out.
Yep. The crossover, the jump shot.
Yeah, he stopped.
All that in the middle of fighting, and yeah, so
he's
definitely a knockout there. Kai Kara-France versus Cody Garbrandt.
What a weird career Cody Garbrandt's had.
He's only 30.
I know. It's like, it feels like he's peaked. He's had his valleys. Like, he went out there and he destroyed Rafael Assuncao with the buzzer beater of a right hook. I can't figure Cody Garbrandt out. Cody Garbrandt's one of those guys. I compared him to Teofimo Lopez. Got too much too soon. Thought he could just blow everybody out and never made those proper adjustments. And then realized, like, well, shit, I have to learn how to be a more complete fighter. You spent your whole life trying to beat, you know, Dominic Cruz. You beat him. And then you were like, oh, I can beat everybody like this, but you can't. That being said, Kai Kara-France is a good fighter, but I think Cody's going to knock him out. I'm picking Cody by stoppage.
Yeah, if Cody's who he's supposed to be still, yeah. Why not? I mean, the loss to Rob Font was kind of weird.
Dude, he got completely outclassed by Rob Font.
Class.
Like, he got completely, like, I didn't see that coming. He got completely outclassed.
No.
But Kai Kara-France is not a striker.
And then now flyweight.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, and flyweight now makes all the difference.
Yeah,
that power down a division
should carry.
Could be scary.
If he's cutting right, he'll be fine. And he'll stop Kai Kara-France.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take Cody by knockout, too. Because Cody by decision is a little weird.
Yeah.
And then Jeff Neal versus Santiago Ponzinibbio. I'm not picking against Ponzinibbio.
Me either.
One of the best, one of the funniest guys to watch in MMA.
Yeah, Ponson Nabil.
So yeah,
a great
give
fight.
Me that by decision.
Jeff Neal feels like there's something missing in his game, and I can't quite figure out what it is. He looks like a guy who could have been on the verge for a while, but he hasn't put mm-hmm. it all together. Now Ponson Nabil got knocked out by Li Jiliang, two fights ago, but yet and still he's looked really, really good in the fights that he's been in. This should be a good fight. This might go to a decision. Jeff Neal's gonna have to use his wrestling. I don't know if it would be smart for him to stand and bang with him. I'm picking Ponson Nibio as well. I like Jeff Neal, but it just feels like, man, when I keep watching him, something ain't clicking. It ain't clicking, dog. I don't know what it is. But Ponson Nibio.
Jeff Neal lost to Wonder Boy.
Which is, that's
okay. He was on a run. Then
he was.
The loss to Wonder Boy, yeah, got outpointed. And then the Neil Magny loss was odd.
Well, Neil Magny, he is your litmus test, right? Like, how good are you fighting Neil Magny? Because he's durable.
Yeah.
He's long.
He's a good gatekeeper.
Yeah, and he does everything well.
In the best of ways.
Yeah. Yep. He's a jack of all trades, a master of none. The man can grapple, strike. He's got a good chin, but he's not great at any of these things. But he's good enough to give a novice hell. And that's what he did to Jeff Neal. He made him look like a novice in that fight. So I'm picking Ponson Nibio. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe Jeff has evolved. Those two back-to-back losses hurt. But, yeah, I'm going to go with Ponson Nibio.
Now the co-main.
Amanda Nunes by death, murder, kill.
Why does she have to be the co-main?
Because this is what
like,
the UFC
all the
does.
Time.
Listen, man, I've been trying to figure this out for years. I think I said this on a show a while ago. She's only headlined like two or three pay-per-views. She fought Cyborg as a co-main event, right?
Yeah, one was by default because what? John Jones fell out of the fight, I think,
right.
And then DC had to drop down, fight Anderson Silva.
That was 200.
And then she was only title match, so they had her. Yeah, and Brock Lesnar, I'm surprised they didn't put him above her, but they couldn't because it was like a return fight.
They put the title match. She beat up Miesha Tate. But since then, like the only other fight, there was the Shevchenko fight, which had a terrible undercard that she headlined.
Yeah.
Amanda Nunes is not just the two-division champion. She's the best female fighter in the world and arguably top five or three pound for pound, regardless of gender. And she's still co-main eventing fights. This is wild to me. And Juliana Pena has done what she could to sell this fight. She's going to get hammered. She's going to get stopped.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, why isn't Amanda Nunes headlining a card? And give me, like, Amanda Nunes, before Masvidal got hurt and he pulled out of that fight with Leon Edwards, I'd have been fine with Amanda Nunes headlining a card. You put Masvidal as a co-main. That would have made sense to me.
Yep.
Like, to keep it real, Amanda should come out of this completely unscathed, right? She should just dog Juliana Pena. Book Amanda Nunes versus whoever you want, and then your co-main event could be Colby Covington and Jorge Masvidal. That card will sell. Amanda has deserved the right to headline a card with a strong enough co-main to sell pay-per-views. Give that girl a chance.
That's what it is. She just needs the strong co-main, but there's no shame in that.
Nah, but most people do. Like, this card isn't going to sell well. Let's just keep it funky. Poirier's going to – he'll bring some, but this is not going to be the usual, like, big UFC, like, heavyweight card, whatever. This is an okay card. Amanda, they're barely even talking about her heading to this fight. She's the best in the world.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Damn shame. It's gone completely under the radar. But, yeah, I agree. Amanda Nunes, first-round knockout.
First and second, she's going to dog her. Julianne's going to try to wrestle her. Yep. That's the only chance she really has. Julianne can't stand in front of her. She's going to try to test.
Juliana's going to come in and walk into something.
Yeah, I mean, but if not, and I think they all underestimate how strong Amanda Nunes is. So if Juliana wants to grapple or try to take her down, she's going to be in for a hell of a night. They also forget that Amanda Nunes is a fucking jiu-jitsu black belt. Like, she's not here to play the games with y'all. Of course she wants to mush her face in. If you want to grapple, she could do that too. But I don't think she's going to play. I think she's going to stuff a takedown, shrug her off, and then ground and pound her to hell. There's somewhere in that fight that's what the sequence is going to happen.
Oh, I agree. Oh, I think she just knocks her out on the feet. But yeah, still.
Which
crazy. Thing? And then Charles Oliveira versus Dustin Poirier in the main event.
Boy.
I just think it's time for the Diamond to take the belt. Like, Oliveira reminds me a lot of when Ferguson was on his run. It's just like, not that Oliveira is a bad fighter by any means. I think Justin just rounded into himself, and this is time for Dustin to be a legit champ, not, interim champ, not a guy who, and then what, he failed against Khabib, all that stuff. Like, nah, I think he's rounded into perfect form, perfect time. It's his division. Go get the belt.
This is a tough fight to pick. I'm trying to find, because I just recently did buy the numbers for this, and I found a couple really interesting stats. And I'm going to look for it, but I'm going to talk through this fight. The way that Charles Oliveira has come on has been fascinating, because he went from a guy who was a barely 500 fighter to going on this savage run where he stopped 8 of his last 9 opponents. The only person he didn't stop was Tony Ferguson, but he completely dominated him from front to back. He knocked out Michael Chandler, which none of us saw coming. We thought submission,
yep. Right?
But here's – all right, I pulled it up. Here's a few interesting things about Charles Oliveira. He's number one all-time in finishes in the UFC. Period.
History.
Number one.
Sure.
He's also number one all-time in submissions. Number one. All-time. Charles Oliveira and Dustin Poirier came into the UFC before they were of legal drinking age. Both of them were super young. They both had high expectations. Oliveira faltered. He started off like 2-0, and then he went like 5-6 or something wild like that. Poirier was on that nice little surge, and then he ran into this little Irishman named Conor McGregor, who knocked him in the next week, right? Changed their paths forever. Both of them said, we need to move up to lightweight, right? They both go up to lightweight. Oliveira flounders for a bit. Poirier, he gets knocked up by – he leaves after getting knocked up by Michael Johnson. Or did that happen while he was a lightweight? Whatever it had, everything changed after the Michael Johnson knocked out for Dustin Poirier. He beats Justin Gaethje. He beats Eddie Alvarez. He beats Conor McGregor twice.
Yep.
Like, the run that Dustin Poirier is on is stupid. He beats Max Holloway, who's twice. He's beating Max Holloway twice, but he's beating everybody. Now, Poirier is fifth all-time in UFC wins. Like, this is crazy. 13 years, 75 fights between them, and they never fought until now. That's like, this is crazy.
Crazy.
Here's another one for you.
His run, Poirier's run, Anthony Pettis in there as well. Jim Miller was his last, like, normal fight.
Right.
Because then after that, Eddie Alvarez, Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway, like you said, Dan Hooker.
Yeah, Dan is the only non-champion out of that bunch, and they had a fight of the year. Everybody else has held a title in the UFC. Gaethje had the interim title. Max Holloway's featherweight championship. He's mowed down everybody. Here's the fun part. Dustin Poirier has finished 75% of his opponents. 75% of his opponents have been finished. You know what Charles Oliveira's percentage of finish percentage is? 90.
Has to be higher than that.
90.
if he's 90.
Between the two of them, only 17% of their fights have gone to the judges' scorecard. That's absurd. This fight is not going the distance. It's absolutely not going the distance. The problem is, for Poirier, can you stay out of Charles Oliveira's grasp for 25 minutes? Because if he wraps you up, this ain't like when Chang Sung Jung submitted you. This is the most prolific finisher in UFC history, which sounds ridiculous when you say it at first, and you're like, nah, shouldn't that be? And you pick a name. No, it's Charles Oliveira. Yeah. It is Charles Oliveira. He finishes everybody. It's do or die for Oliveira. Either he finishes or he gets finished. And he almost got finished by Michael Chandler, but he collected himself,
yeah.
Punched him out.
Crazy.
I'm having a really hard time picking this fight, because when the fight was first announced, I picked Poirier. In the middle weeks, I picked Oliveira. And now I'm going back and forth because I can't figure this out. They're both on these incredible runs. Dustin Poirier's only lost was to Khabib. So you just throw that one out the
recently.
Window. Everybody loses to Khabib. It's like when Canelo lost to Floyd. It's like, all right, whatever. You lost to Floyd. You're the best fighter in the world.
Yep.
But Charles doesn't have the resume that Poirier has. That is my only clear argument to picking Dustin Poirier. But Poirier, what he hasn't done is fought a jiu-jitsu practitioner as good as Charles Oliveira. Gaethje, Alvarez, Hooker, these are all strikers. Connor, all strikers. Doesn't have a hard time with any of those because he knows what they're going to do.
No. Had a hard time with a grappler. But, again, that's Khabib.
Right.
But, yeah, the different style is still, like, one of the things where you look at and be like, okay, someone gave him a different look and it was tough.
Yeah. So, Right now, I'm picking Charles Oliveira by stoppage. I think he's going to submit him.
Wow.
Because Dustin has...
Poirier knocks him out.
I can see it. I've been going back and forth. My line of thinking is that Poirier hasn't fought a prolific grappler in forever. He's prepared for striker after striker after striker. Hooker. The last prolific grappler he fought, other than Khabib, and got destroyed was Jim Miller. But Jim Miller's not on the same level as Charles Oliveira. So you could be totally right. Charles could walk into one. Poirier's a great striker. He's a volume puncher. He's not a one-punch finisher. He can get him out of there. But I think Charles Oliveira's just got something special right now where it reminds me of Robbie Lawler and his streak. And I'm going to pick Charles Oliveira.
I think Oliveira, to get him down, to submit him, you got to rock him in terms of rocking Dustin Poirier. Because Oliveira's not going to drag him to the cage, pull him down. He's not going to shoot for a double or a single, get him to the ground. That's not what he does. He rocks you, or you shoot on him, and then you end up getting him on the ground, and you're in a world of hurt. Like, I don't see Dustin shooting on him either. So it's one of those things where it's like he has to rock Dustin, get him to the ground, and then wrap him up in something. And I think if that's the case, Dustin's going to rock him first.
I don't think it's that. Like, Charles Oliveira.
I thought the same thing with Michael Chandler, though, and it was a whole different world.
Yeah. I mean, so. You know, with Oliveira, he uses a lot of, you know, clinch, single leg trips. He uses his weight. He uses techniques. He uses the cage. He'll pull you off the cage. He doesn't have a powerful, like, double leg. But the thing is, the other issue is, like, even if Poirier hurts Oliveira, there's going to be a moment where he's going to pause and be like, I don't want to follow him to the ground.
Yep.
So
make him get back up.
Right. So the thing with Poirier stopping opponents is that he uses volume. So he doesn't knock you out one punch. He has to hammer you with a bunch of punches. Look at the McGregor fights. He didn't finish Hooker. Yep. That was a fight of the year, and they beat the hell out of each other for 25 minutes. He's not a big puncher. So if he hits you and he connects and you go down, if you have any of your wits about you, you can try to wrap him up. Now, if you're not smart like Conor, who has no grappling, he's just going to eat punches. But if you're Oliveira and you have just a little bit of wit about you, and if you're Poirier and you know that this guy is as great as a finisher, like I just said, the all-time leader in submissions and finishes in the UFC, instinct will kick in for a second. But all fighters know when they fight jiu-jitsu guys, like, I don't want to just follow him to the ground. Hey?
No.
And if he doesn't do that, I mean, you got to roll the dice, but Oliveira has more ways to win this fight.
Exactly. Like with Chandler, Chandler's like, I'm not going to the ground. I'll just wait. Oliveira shook the cobwebs off. The next thing you know, he came back and finished Chandler.
He punched him in the face. He's like, all right, what's up?
Yeah. Because it's the reluctance of going to the ground to finish him.
That's
where you would with someone else.
Yep.
And then he was like, I'm not following down there. So when Oliveira was like wrapped up, Oliveira, only thing he had to do was pull guard. Chandler's like, no, I'm good. Clear his mind. Get back up. Went to the next round, stopped Chandler. So, yeah, you can't follow him down.
Like, I've struggled with this fight.
You got to knock him out against the cage while he's somewhat still standing.
Yeah, right today, I don't know if today I'm not picking Poirier to do that. And I might stick with this all the way
through. Or you do what Anthony Pettis did, which he went for a guillotine, and I think he submitted him. Rocked him.
Yeah.
Guillotined him up around the cage. Didn't let him get to his back. He was just like, yeah. I would just put him back against the cage and guillotine him.
Look, I want to go off the path real quick before I go home, because you made this, you said this in the group chat, because Sergio Pettis just beat Horiguchi with the most ridiculous spinning back fist I've ever seen from a guy who knocks out nobody. And then you
19
asked.
19 landed punches in 4 rounds.
You asked if Sergio Pettis was better than Anthony, and that was the most absurd thing that you could have possibly said.
He's now the best Pettis.
No, Anthony Pettis. And like you just pointed out, nobody was submitting. There's two people that Pettis submitted that nobody was submitting. Benson Henderson, Charles Oliveira. He submitted both. Pettis, like, we don't put enough respect on Pettis' name because he did the Roy Jones, just kept fighting and was losing to the wrong people. And we were like, maybe he's not that good. But peak Pettis was undeniable.
Different level.
So somebody tried to say that. It was like, you know, Charles Oliveira got submitted by Anthony Pettis. Yo, nobody was beating Anthony Pettis at the time. The motherfucker was on a Wheaties box. You weren't beating Anthony Pettis at that time.
Like, peak Pettis was a different level.
Yo, they remember him and Aldo was supposed to fight.
It fell off quick.
When you hit the wall, and the wall hits back, and you don't, it's just what I said about Aldo. and you don't figure it out, you don't fight at your same pace, you can't Showtime kick anymore, you know, throw some leg kicks. Figure something
out. Then, he'd fucking Superman punch Wonder Boy into a different dimension.
He still got it. So, but that being said, Dustin Poirier is not as good as Anthony Pettis was at his peak. I don't see Poirier submitting Charles Oliveira. I don't see any scenario.
You don't think Dustin has reached that level?
No. In terms of
Pettis was really high at his peak. Talent? Dustin is really rolling into his peak.
No, don't get me wrong. He's really good. But I think in pure, when we talk pure talent and being able to do things nobody else can do, there was really, truly very few like Anthony Pettis.
I understand. And that's what the eye test a lot. I get it. Poirier's record in their peaks, if this is their peaks, Poirier's record is better than the record that Pettis had at that point.
Look, say it again.
This past six fights is better than any six fight stretch.
I think.
I'd say he went on, Pettis has ever gone on.
If
Poirier's last six fights are better than any stretch.
If you give me peak Pettis against peak Dustin Poirier, I'm picking Anthony Pettis. Because, the division is completely different.
That's an eyeball test. Yeah, that's fair.
You got to remember, Pettis at WEC, when he beat Benson Henderson, when he beat Donald Cerrone, Pettis was mowing people down. He ran into Rafael Dos Anjos, who was a buzzsaw at the time. But prior to that, he beat Gilbert Melendez when Gilbert was unstoppable as former Strikeforce champion.
But one of my first UFC fights that I covered.
You just look at what Poirier was able to do in that cage. The Showtime kick. I mean, it was a highlight forever. The man jumped off the fence, kicked somebody in the face. Kicked Benson Henderson, who had his arms way down here, because who thought he's going to get kicked in the face? I would pick peak Pettis over peak Poirier. Poirier's on a fantastic run, but again, I'm pointing out that same thing. He's only fought strikers. He has not fought grapplers. And now he's stepping into the cage one. If he beats him, then you're right. If he knocks out Oliveira, no problem, then you're right. But right now, because he hasn't seen one, I'm picking Charles Oliveira.
Interesting. It's going to be one hell of a fight. Fight of the weekend. I'm sad that I'll be in New York that weekend, work is work. Yeah, you'll be there. So enjoy that. Hopefully everyone enjoyed this show. Tons of boxing to talk about because, of course, we had Devin Haney and we have Gervonta while we're recording this. So Wednesday show is going to be packed with that. We have Tai Tuivasa also on the end of that show to throw a little MMA sprinkle on top of that show. So that's going to be really fun. We appreciate you guys for listening today, though. Make sure you guys go out, get yourself a 7-Up cake. Treat yourself. Don't cheat yourself. Have a good end to your weekend or start to your week, whenever you're listening to this. We appreciate you. But now, I want to thank everyone at Blue Wire. I'm not in studio, but shout out to everyone at Blue Wire Studios. Shout out to Adam Cole, producer Cole Baby, for holding it down. Antoine in the booth with him, which I still haven't found anything clever to say about Antoine. But you are appreciated in your own right, my man. We're going to figure something out there. We're open to suggestions. In the meantime, follow us on social media at @CornerPodcast_ on Twitter, @CornerClubForLife on Instagram. Stay safe. Stay Rona free. Shit's getting crazy out here again. Make sure everyone around you is safe so we can enjoy these holidays and enjoy all of this combat sports coming up. Until Wednesday, though, we're out.
Peace.